Innovation Rockstars. Innovation Rockstars.
In this episode, we welcome Manuel Kraus, Senior Consultant for Business Model Innovation at Bosch Innovation Consulting. His mission, supporting internal and external innovation teams to validate new ideas and take innovation management to the next level. In this casual exchange, we address the different types of innovation at Bosch and take a look at the organizational structure required to manage organizational ambidexterity. Furthermore, we talk about the topic of business model innovation in companies and, in this context, get introduced to the Bosch Accelerator Program. Want to get the full story? Then tune in.
Now on Innovation Rockstars.
Hi, and welcome back to Innovation Rockstars. My name is Chris Mühlroth, and in this episode, I am really excited to welcome Manuel Kraus in his role as Senior Consultant Business Model Innovation at Bosch. And yeah, with Manuel, we will be talking about his experiences on organizational ambidexterity and business model innovation. So yeah, Manuel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. So as always, let's kick things off with a short 60 seconds introduction sprint. And this sprint is all about you, your career, and your current role at Bosch. So I do have the digital stopwatch with me. So for the next 60 seconds, the virtual stage is all yours. Let's go.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hi, my name is Manuel Kraus. I'm a senior consultant consulting at Bosch Innovation Consulting. My academic background is in business administration, and after graduating from Mannheim University, I started my career as a freelancing consultant at a big automotive OEM, supporting software development teams to generate new business models at a time when nobody was calling that business model innovation. End of 2006, I joined Bosch as a management trainee, followed by several positions in logistics, supply chain management, and sales. Next to my job, I co-founded a startup in the food and beverage sector, and in May 2021, I joined Bosch Innovation Consulting, helping internal and external innovation teams and external clients to validate new ideas quickly and to take innovation management to the next level. Privately, I'm married and the father of four lovely kids living in the Munich area.
All right, that's quite a bit. All right, thanks very much. So, okay, for the next thing here, I do have three sentence starters for you, and I would like you to ask to complete to complete those sentences. So, okay, number one goes like this. If organizations do not innovate, they
will end up as dinosaurs and die sooner or later.
Okay, got it. Number two, that's an interesting one. So in 5 years, artificial intelligence will be?
I would say playing a much bigger role in business life as well as in our private lives. It will be more present, much more obvious, but still I think most of us will struggle to comprehend the full magnitude of change AI will bring to us.
Oh, that is an interesting perspective. Well, oh, thank you for that. And finally, the third statement goes like this. One bad, like really bad recommendation I often hear in my profession is?
I would say, let's just do it. We can skip the validation.
Oh, interesting. All right. Why do you think this is a bad recommendation?
Because one of the major pitfalls we see in corporate innovation or in innovation in general is that you invest ahead of learning. So you put money on an idea, on a new venture without having it properly validated, and that usually is cash burn. So we recommend highly to investigate and validate thoroughly before putting money on it.
Got it. All right. Makes perfect sense. So, okay. So let's take one step back and start with organizational ambidexterity. this term is not new, right? It basically just refers to the ability or the capability of an organization to do both, right? So to be good in its today's business and to be able to adapt to the changing demands of tomorrow. You can also put this differently and say, well, the two sides of the ambidexterity also referred to as exploitation, right? So the existing business where innovation can happen, obviously too, but maybe there, you know, it's more often found to be rather incremental. And exploration, so new business, that includes business model innovation, of course, as well, more risky, and the tendency is maybe rather more radical, at least not too much incremental. And, you know, many innovation management systems today are, at least what we see, still set up to exploit insights and knowledge about existing markets and customers and technologies and so on. And maybe you can confirm, but, you know, we've seen it over and over and over in the past that established firms were challenged in a number of industries, you know, by new market entrants, be it, you know, retail, Amazon, automotive, Tesla, travel, booking.com, Expedia, and so on. And actually also there is research that shows that it's hard to handle exploitation and exploration in one homogeneous innovation management system. So maybe we can talk about that also in the context of Bosch. What are the different ways to innovate at Bosch? Of course, you know, recognizing it's a complex and a multinational organization.
Yeah, indeed it is. And yeah, I absolutely agree. And of course, this is a challenge we at Bosch have to tackle as well, just like many or any other big corporation. And we try to do so by differentiating, just similar to what you said, by between core, adjacent, and beyond core business or business innovation. And the innovation in the core is in the responsibility mainly of the business units. Mm-hmm. So they are responsible for it, and they drive innovation within their core sphere. Beyond that, the adjacencies, they usually either come out of the business units or from cross business units or cross domain activities. So for example, in our mobility sector, the huge sector at Bosch, there is a dedicated unit searching for innovative new business models, mm-hmm. Of course, attached to the mobility sector and fitting to the Bosch strategy. Beyond core innovations, or some call it Horizon 3, or, you know, that goes way beyond with new business models and new technologies. This, of course, can somehow be triggered by a certain business unit, or could be that there is a very innovative idea. But mainly it's handled centrally. And of course, there is a very strong central corporate development unit mm-hmm. at Bosch, really big, and also central IT department looking for innovative tasks. And they focus strongly on innovation projects for future technologies and also future businesses. So we try to have all those under one roof, but still being on different paths, because there's different, there's a different velocity and a different speed and different activities on those roads.
Right. And is that then basically the way how Bosch designed the different ways to innovate to address organizational ambidexterity? I mean, you know, exploiting the core business and then exploring in adjacent or maybe, you know, in other areas, non-core areas, in different business units. Is that kind of how you try to address this?
No, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It is. So a couple of years ago, we designed a process, what we call the Bosch Innovation Framework. Mm-hmm. And this gives us, as the name says, a framework for all our innovation activities. And that actually deploys for both, for exploit and explore innovation. And that is because, for example, we just don't want to miss an opportunity when, for example, we do a business unit that's kind of an innovation on which is close to the core, next gen product or whatever. We don't want to miss an opportunity for a business model that goes a step ahead. So, for example, if we do something on the product base, could be that we think about, okay, can we add a service to that, or can we be in the role of the facilitator instead of just the seller of the component? And so this framework also applies for exploitation. When we innovate, when we are closer at the core, then we most of the things are focusing stronger, not so much on ideation, but stronger on operability and efficiency. So this can go in another direction. When we think of ideas that go beyond, then we have to dwell much longer at the earlier part of this framework, be it the strategic fit, and be it the problem definition, and be it the validation phase, because there's much more uncertainty about the business model. So just not facts, but assumptions. You don't know who the customers are yet. You have to prove that there is a must-have need, and you just have to test and validate your assumptions, and that's way different from the from when you're operating close to the core, right? Because that is then clear.
Interesting. So would you is it fair to say that you basically shift the weights of the time investment in the innovation framework depending on whether it's explore or exploit? Could you kind of say it like that? But it's the same innovation framework that basically applies to both.
It's the same. It's the same framework, and yes, you have to spend much more time on that earlier phase of the framework if things are less clear.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And in terms of the organizational structure, you know, what can you maybe just talk, you know, from your experience, what an organizational structure should look like to allow and account for, you know, both exploitation and exploration? And maybe one example question would be, or a follow-up question would be, should, for example, organizations set up a, you know, permanent structure for exploring new business? That's, for example, the way Google or 3M does it, I guess, or, you know, rather project-based, which I guess we've seen with the Volkswagen, for example. What do you think?
It's a difficult one to answer, and I don't know if there's like a golden rule to it that always solves it. So what seems to be clear is when you want to be successful in both spheres, or exploration, exploitation, then you somehow have to keep the new ideas, the new ventures, which are in the early stage, you have to keep them somehow protected from the core. Mm. Otherwise, there's always the risk for them for getting suffocated or swallowed by the core business. So you can do this in a separate org structure, or you can provide a certain amount of freedom within the existing structure. Both can work. Both are not easy to do. Yeah. Because when you overload a new venture too early with strong KPI targets, they will just not meet them, because it's basing on assumptions and it's not worth making plans for it. Pressure gets too high and the weight of the core is so much higher and so stronger that the smaller ones, they will get diminished. On the other hand, what you do want to do is that you still, even if you kind of separate those units, and for example, in Bosch, we have a platform called a separate unit called Grow for certain projects, not for all. When you want to do this, then you still want to use the synergies, and you want to make use of the assets you have as a corporate. So your market power, all your production capabilities, all sales channels you have. And all that weight, all that advantage big corporations have, the new venture should somehow be able to make use of those, but don't get fully incorporated at once. And this is difficult to do. I don't think there's an easy answer to that question.
Yeah, most probably this is a case-by-case decision, right? Is there any good, you know, way to decide? For example, you say there is a specific program in Bosch, you know, called Grow, as you say, right? So you know, how do you decide, you know, which path or which route a possible venture should actually go? Is there a set of rules, or is it indeed a case-by-case decision by maybe a portfolio manager or something?
No, it is a case-by-case decision. Mm. And one trigger to decide is we always look for the strategic fit. Mm-hmm. Of that new idea, and we do that very early on, because if there's no strategic fit to Bosch, to the company, or to any business unit, then it's highly unlikely that it ever will scale within Bosch. And yeah. we don't aim at spinning out ventures. Could be the fact the case, but we usually don't do it. And so if there is a strategic fit and if there's a business in it, so maybe it's more the adjacent business, or could be even more than adjacent, but very good fit to an existing business in it, then this usually would be funded and supported and stays with that unit. Yeah, and there's no need to put it on a separate lane. To grow, for example, If the idea applies to several business units, it's more complicated. That's really something new for Bosch, then it might be a good idea to have them separated for a while.
No.
They stay there 2-3 years to get market traction and see if it really works out, and then look where to reintegrate them in the best possible way or to spin them off. So it's another option, yeah. And it depends on the maturity, on the strategic fit, and on other factors.
Yeah. Okay. And when we talk resources, so maybe we can quickly discuss two, you know, resources: one, financial, and also human resources. On financial resources, obviously you don't need to, you know, name any numbers, like real total numbers, but on the funding in general, is there, I don't know, do you put aside an annual innovation budget? Like, okay, this is basically a pot of money for financial, and then the ventures can basically, you know, request certain funds at a certain stage, or is it more fluid on the financial side? And what's kind of the operation look like?
Well, I think it's differentiated within Bosch. So of course there's funding and budget for everything that is out of corporate research, right? So future technologies,
yeah.
And so on.
Yeah.
Within business units or divisions may have their own funding budget,
yeah.
And for innovative ideas, and for some occasions or for some strategic topics, there might be a central budget,
yeah.
for certain new businesses or for certain directions Bosch wanna go to. But that is kind of, as you said, fluid,
yeah.
And it's in responsibility of the business units to fund their ideas.
Yeah. Okay. Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Now on the human resources side, how to find and where to find the right talent for this? Is it that you are, you know, for example, marketing this quite a bit internally, and that you actually get a lot of, let's say, inbound requests to be maybe part of the programs, that you also collect, you know, ideas or possible ventures? Or, you know, if you want to basically scale this, then once you say, well, the hypotheses and all this stuff we did in the beginning, the validation was positive. On staffing, how to find the right talent within Bosch?
Well, as you said, we promote it internally.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we try to get the word to as many employees as possible. So there is some central communication within the regions and within the business unit, within the divisions, and usually there's quite a lot of interest in, because for example, for taking part in a call for ideas or call for project, or being part of our own acceleration program, which we run internally from the department I'm working mm-hmm. for. And there usually is a high interest, because that's something different from the day-to-day business of the most employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of the time, people find this very rewarding, very interesting, and joyful to work outside their box, outside their comfort zone even. And at least some of them find it kind of don't want to go back to their old job and mm-hmm. want to stay in a new venture-less entrepreneurship thing is something they would have never started a startup outside of Bosch, never being an entrepreneur on their own. You know? But within a corporate, being able to work like a startup founder or like an entrepreneur is another thing, and quite some people like it. Still, it's difficult to find enough people being really into it, being committed, and going going the extra mile or until the end.
But that's actually an interesting combination, isn't it? I mean, you get the benefits of still getting a monthly salary, right? So you're kind of de-risking on the financial side, but at the same time, you get the opportunity to work on intrapreneurship programs and basically building, you know, something new, whether it's in your business model, a product or service. So that's actually an interesting combination, right? For people who don't want to do this, you know, externally, but hey, well, stay at Bosch, you get your monthly salary check, but you are able to, or you are empowered to work on that. That's interesting. Mm. And this might be a tough question, but what do you think, where in your business, like specifically in your business, are you feeling the pull toward this organizational ambidexterity the most? Is there anything you can tell?
Well, if you mean by that where's the most kind of yep. pain or the big yep. push yep. Where we need to innovate beyond our existing, well, I would say, generally speaking, for all our divisions, all our business units, the trend of of digitalization is strong, and everyone has to look and is looking for new digital business models. That doesn't have to be far from the core, but it's something new. And for some, it's something very new.
Yeah.
But for sure, without any doubt, within the automotive sector, they are amidst a huge transformation, right? And they have a strong search towards new business model,
yeah.
And that push doesn't only, or that pressure doesn't only come from the shift towards e-mobility, but also from new software topics and the software defined car. And there's huge transformation going on, making it absolutely a must to look beyond your core business and looking for new business models. At the same time, you need to keep up that exploit mm-hmm. business, so your core, because there you make the money, right?
Exactly.
Need that money to be able to invest in new ideas. And recently I heard Steve Lang put in it, the operators pay your salary, the innovators pay your pension. And I think he's right there.
That's a great statement. That should go maybe on some t-shirt or some merchandise you guys provide. So let's see. And let's dive a bit, you know, deeper into business model innovation. But before we dive deeper, I actually would love to play a quick round of a game called Either Or, which is a game of choice. It's interesting sometimes to and get the answer. So let's see what happens. The game is really simple. It works like this. I will give you two options. So either option one or option number two. You then choose one option and spend one sentence on your opinion and why you chose a specific option. And I guess the key to this is speed, right? So let's see what happens. Okay, the first one is either winter or summer.
Oh, summer, definitely.
Summer, why?
Much more opportunities with four kids. We are not skiers, so we like to be outside in the sun.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Okay, second one. Either invest in Bitcoin or in Ethereum, and why?
Oh, not investing in one of those, but I think I would go for Ethereum, as mm-hmm. Bitcoin seems to be so much volatile and triggered too much on tweets by Elon Musk.
Interesting. Okay, interesting perspective. Okay, and the last one, if you could decide, would you either run a country or a business?
I think a business.
A business.
Because mm-hmm. Running a country might be interesting as well. But I think you're kind of so much pushed by worldwide circumstances mm-hmm. you can't influence. Maybe I would go for the business.
Okay, let's go for the business. Well, thank you. Interesting answers. And okay, let's go back finally to the core, to the business model innovation topic of this episode. You already mentioned quite a bit, right? And out of many ways how to innovate at Bosch, you specialized in business model innovation, right? So when we think of a definition, specifically, you know, an easy, clear, concise definition, how would you define, you know, business model innovation exactly?
Maybe not so easy, mm-hmm. But there are several definitions out there, I'm sure. We use a lot of Osterwalder's nine blocks canvas, but for the definition, I would rather go with the St. Gallen model with four quadrants or four, mm-hmm. four aspects. And you can describe a business model with those four different segments, be it that the customer in the center, and then there's a kind of what they call magic triangle around mm-hmm. it. And the corners of the triangle are the what, so what do you offer for the customer, the how do you create value, and the value generation, so where does the profit come from. And then the definition is if you change or innovate in at least two of those four aspects, customer or value generation and so on, then we talk of business model innovation.
Got it. Okay, well, that's a framework you can basically work with. That's very nice. And when you think of specifically, you know, in corporates, in large corporates, as Bosch obviously is one of, right? What do you see are, you know, really mission critical barriers and challenges of innovating business models, so of business model innovation in those corporates?
Quite a few. What we see is also from the look outside of Bosch that corporates, companies do struggle to bring new ideas from the beginning, so from the ideation phase to really all the way through a new business with a repeatable, scalable and profitable business model, and then really scale it. So usually, at least from Mouse's perspective, there's not a lack of ideas. We see that there is plenty of ideas out there, and the employees within the corporate do have a lot of ideas. Picking them up and then do a proper validation and then incubation before you put a lot of money on it and burn it maybe, because you can't pick winners is one of our claims. So you do not know at the beginning if that's a good idea or a bad idea. So you have to find out. And corporates struggle with that. And even if you have then validated an idea, and I think that is maybe the biggest challenge then, is that question how to integrate that validated idea into your main business, or how to bring it to a scale business of some magnitude with some impact. That is rare that companies strive in this discipline.
And why do you think it's specifically hard to, you know, incorporate those ventures or those, you know, projects or small businesses actually into the organization to scale up, to ramp it up? Why do you think that is?
Because one reason is that it requires a strong management focus. Top level management focus, not focus, not in a sense of micromanaging those mm-hmm. Those ventures, but for giving them, providing them the freedom they require to flourish, to come up. And way too often there are a lot of Tushman, O'Reilly and Binns call those the silent killers of mm-hmm. innovation. So there's existing processes, there's existing regulations, there are decision chains that are so long and take so long that for a new venture, it's just not the right the right atmosphere to have enough speed to being agile and being innovative. And to manage this is not easy. And also, you do need kind of skilled people. You do need some expert knowledge how to do this innovation work, how to validate ideas, how to conduct interviews, how to derive your learnings out of your validation work in order to say this is a good idea or this is a bad idea. And actually, many companies struggle to kill a bad idea. There are a lot of what we call dead horses out there. So new ideas, not so new anymore ideas, being around for 2-3 years in a corporate, still not having market traction, still existing because no one has the guts to say, now we stop this. And there's a framework. I think we're on the right way for this, but it's not easy to do.
It's not easy. And sometimes, stopping is actually way harder than starting. Right. I mean, you can start things, right, and say, oh, yeah, cool. Let's do this and create a team or, get a little funding and see what happens. But actually stopping all this and maybe sending people back to their, day-to-day job or their, units where they come from, their teams, is actually much harder because it's somewhat connected to the sunk cost fallacy, right? You want to say, well, no, we just need to push it a bit more. And then, magically, this thing will scale up or get market traction.
And we already invested so much money and already invested so much time, so we can't stop it right now. Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of hard. And I guess, one way how Bosch tries to tackle this is that Bosch has established a central department that coaches, right, and promotes innovation projects to advance intrapreneurship. Can you just, you already described quite a bit of it, but, just describe the concept maybe and how this works.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not a central, classical central department where we transformed into a service department in a way that we support and help other segments, business units, and parts of the company. As consultants. So there is a design program, which is a validation program. Internally, we call this the Bosch Accelerator Program. And it was designed, I think, in 2016, 2017. So it's quite some time ago. And we did this with the help of colleagues from UC Berkeley, from University of California, Berkeley, and still get some support from them. And this program is meant for early stage intra company startups, which have an idea not yet validated, but with a certain maturity. So there is already the idea of a business model, not just a product idea. There is a business model. There is a team with capacity, and there is the backup of a sponsor from some business unit or from some area. So there's already a strategic fit. And then there's two phases in this validation journey. Phase one is 8 weeks, and it's a customer development. So early validation, we require the teams to do 100 customer interviews in that 8 weeks. That is quite a lot. it's hard to work to do especially for B2B business model, but it's possible. And then, so it's finding a must-have need and so on. And then after 8 weeks, there's coaching sessions each and every week. There's a prep, small prep week. There's coaching sessions every week. And then there's lessons learned presentation at the end. We don't pitch. We show our lessons learned. Okay. And then it's a decision made by the team itself, either if they're a go or a no-go, and the coaches, if we see them as a go or a no-go. And usually that matches very well because the criteria is clear. And the journey is clear, and we base this decision on evidence. And then the go teams following a phase two, which is then 6 to 7 months roughly. And within this time, it's another validation phase where the teams have to develop an early demonstration and early demonstrator and then an MVP to really test their solution with the customer. So if the product market fit. And goes in a similar way, coaching sessions, then biweekly. And at the end, evidence-based decision whether to proceed further into incubation or to stop it.
Yeah, that's super insightful. And specifically, you know, referring to the first phase, so the very early validation, is there or are there some methods, you know, or tools in the toolbox that are no-go for Bosch? You know, for example, when we think of digitization or digitized products, you know, things like fake door testing, right? You basically create a website and actually try to get to a sell, but you don't have the product. So you're actually, you know, in the... you know, once it looks like you've basically purchased something, then it shows to the customer, well, oh, you've been faster than us. We don't have it. It was just a website, haha. You know, which might be harmful for the marketing or for the brand and stuff. So, are there some no-go things that you typically recommend not doing?
Well, there are, but it can be tricky in the detail. Let's put it like this. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you want to use the Bosch brand, the Bosch logo, mm-hmm. and then be connected to Bosch, then certain regulations apply, and for sure you're not allowed to do anything you want. If you do fake tests without a specific brand and maybe just to see if the problem is there, if someone is interested in that problem, then you fake test would be okay. Yeah. As long as you stick to any legislation rules. And others, well, that would be in a later phase, then of course every time you bring something into the market, so some real product, be it a physical product, then of course some laws apply, and Bosch makes sure that we stick to this. So that has to be then in line with any quality topics. Sometimes difficult for early demonstrations and so on. So you have to find the right way, but for sure not violating any official regulations.
Yeah, so super interesting. And maybe, you know, from a quantitative perspective, just to give us a feeling, you know, how often and how many, you know, how new ideas do you actually get?
So for the for our accelerator program, I have the figure somewhere on my mind. This is we usually run two or three batches per year, and the batch contains something between 10, 12, and maybe 25 innovation teams in one batch. As it is a global program, we have to then to usually split up within this batch due to time shift issues. So Asia, Europe, and Africa and America, it does not well fit into one time zone if you make a call. But that would be two, three batches of this size. And then we have something in addition beyond that batch systematic for teams to what we call a walk-in format. So every team that qualifies for the program can come whenever they want, and if we have enough capacity on the coach side, they can do at their own speed the same curriculum, but at a different timing. And if you count that up, that would be something like maybe 50 teams a year, maybe more, within our accelerator program. But as Bosch is very big and regionally spread and complex company, there is not only one innovation program called the Accelerator Program, but there are some others as well in parallel, which we support, and there are some more ideas out there.
Sure. Okay. And just very briefly, can you maybe describe just a sample project? Obviously nothing confidential, but something you can talk about?
Recently we have had a team joining our accelerated program, having the idea coming from the power tools division, and with an idea for kind of creating new opportunities for digitalization of construction sites. And this is way different from just selling tools, right? And the idea was perceived so well, and the validation was positive in a way that they found the need for stakeholders at a construction site to use digital data to coordinate their labor, their time schedules, and tool location, and many other things. And so they went through both phases, both positive with the Go, and now incubating or scaling their business. They called Refine My Site, very active right now, and very positive feedback. And I think they will, they managed to find a spot where they can offer an additional, not yet there, service and product for our Power Tools division within Bosch.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds great. And good luck to the team. But that sounds really like if they hit a spot, that's cool. And then finally, because we're quite far with time, but I also, you know, happen to know that from 2021 onwards, you also opened up to the outside world, right? So you're also starting or already active in consulting other companies as well. Now, where did this come from? Was it one idea or venture you actually had in the internal accelerator, or how did that came about?
Well, you could say it is kind of an business model innovation of our own business model. So
right.
From being internal consultancy and being a service department for internal innovation topics, we just took the assets we have, so our know-how we built up in that years with a lot of state-of-the-art know-how, I dare say, and then said where we could make use of this and not only train our own people, but we could help, and we are strong at enabling other corporates, not necessarily doesn't have the same size as Bosch, but could be, or could be smaller ones, to build up a similar thing as we did successfully, train the people, train your innovation muscle, and install a proper validation program and do trainings and come up with a state-of-the-art innovation management.
Yeah, and how this was built, so this isn't going to be a little cliffhanger, right? But how that was built and how the approach actually differs from other approaches, that is something that we will talk about in a second part with, you know, more of your colleagues. So that's not for this episode, but the second one. So if you're interested, you know, tune in. And finally, Manuel, I would be interested, you know, maybe we try to summarize what we learned today. So in your opinion, what are the, let's say, three most important success factors or recommendations for, you know, building this, for building business model innovation capabilities in organizations?
I would say, as stated before, the fully backup and by senior management, it has to be in the strategy of the corporate. That's super important. Also for having a positive failure culture. So that comes with giving corporate explorers or entrepreneurs the freedom, you know, the level of freedom they need to explore. So they need capacity, they need expert support, and this is the main thing, I think. And maybe additionally, well, you need the skills. So you have to have some experts internally, or you have to get help from outside in order to train your innovation muscle, yeah, and to build up those skills of how to positively conduct corporate innovation. So corporate strategy backed by senior management and the skills to do so.
Yeah. Well, thanks. That's great. And also, I need to ask you for, you know, your innovation rockstar moment, Manuel. So when you look back on your professional career, maybe specifically at Bosch, tell me about your greatest innovation rockstar moment so far.
Specifically at Bosch, then I would say recently we had quite a huge event for us. It was a huge event, and I was lucky enough to be the moderator together with my colleague Louisa Wagner, and we had Andy Benz and Charles O'Reilly from Stanford University as speakers on stage, and Charles O'Reilly being one of the authors of Lead and Disrupt and Corporate Explorer, being the godfather of ambidextrous organization, being on stage with him, discussing face-to-face the challenges of corporate innovation. This was pretty cool, I have to say.
That sounds like a great rock star moment, and it's also on stage, right? So that's also a brilliant one.
This was on stage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So an onstage rock stars moment. Well, that's great. And with that rock stars moment, Emmanuel, we have reached the end of this episode. So I would like to say thank you for being my guest. It has been very insightful, and thanks for sharing your experience.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure was all mine.
All right. And to everybody listening or watching, if you like the show, as always, then leave us a rating or a review and share the podcast with whomever you think this might be interesting to. And if you want to get in touch, simply shoot us a message at info@innovationrockstars.show. Now that's it. Thanks for your time. See you in the next episode. Take care and bye-bye.
Innovation Rockstars.
This was innovation rockstar Manuel Kraus from Bosch Innovation Consulting on organizational ambidexterity and business model innovation. If you would like to give us feedback on this episode or know someone, perhaps yourself, who also has some thrilling stories or insights to share from the world of corporate innovation, just shoot us a note at info@innovationrockstars.show. You like the show? Then leave us a rating and recommend it to others. For more inspiring innovation stories, visit our website at www.innovationrockstars.show or browse through our Innovation Rockstars channel on all major podcast platforms.